introducing Rav Menachem Liebtag, finishing in Yeshayahu, and if time allows, moving to Yirmiyahu. It's Parshat Beshalach, but not on the Parsha, it's on Tanakh.
My shirts are my RAM. I'm operating.
My assessment is your phone.
My assessment is that I still have the RAM of a Commodore 2, or Apple 2E or whatever it was, in a world that you need 10 gig of RAM.
What was our first computer?
Ours was the Apple 2E. Commodore 64K. It was 64K. So I'm living with a RAM of 64K in a world that needs 10 giga.
I want to explain the connection today between how Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu related, even though they're about 100 years apart. What we did last week, if I remember correctly, we read the Gzar Din of Korban, the Tamil Menashe, maybe? I think so. Didn't we do that?
It was like a geopolitical history through the chart with the waves.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the main point I wanted to make was, is the beginning of Yirmiyahu, is that the end of Bait Rishon or the beginning of Bait Sheni? And the picture I try to paint, I'll just review it real fast, is that the time period of Yeshayahu, which we're finishing, from a global view, when Yeshayahu begins his career in the time of Uziel, it's almost never been better since the time of Shlomo. We have our full borders, we're working together, we're controlling a lot, we're from Dan to Beersheba, we're really sitting pretty. Uziel and Yerovam, the second Yerovam, get along great together. There's almost no idol worship.
I think
the major what was done at the time of the house finished.
I think they're even exporting gas.
What? Where high tech was great. And Yeshayahu's first message was that that's all wonderful, but if you're not taking that prosperity and making an name for me, you're not using it the way I want. If you don't fix it cover up, I'm going to wipe it all out. That was the main thing we tried to see in chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Yeshayahu, especially with Mashal HaKerem. They don't listen, and God brings in Ashur. Again, from the global viewpoint, Ashur wiped out by Rishon, because Ashur, over 50 years, pretty much. First he got Pileser, and then Shalmaneser, and then Sancheriv. Little by little, they wiped out the 10 tribes. Most of Yehuda, Yerushalayim is saved at the last minute. There's a little recovery in the time of Chizkiyahu. Then, after Chizkiyahu dies, and Menashe takes over, and we read last week how Menashe just throws away everything. Remember, we saw the big three? Gidorat, Shvichut Damim, and Avodah Zarah were all in the time of Menashe.
But they did tshuva.
What?
But
at the very end of his life, he did tshuva. Probably he was king for 55 years, but part of the time he was in exile. He came back from exile and did tshuva. But he died. And his successor, Amon, took over and went back to the ways of his father. And then he got assassinated. And then Yoshiel became king. And that's when Yirmiyahu begins his career, when Yoshiel begins to do tshuva. That's what we talked about last time.
Yes.
Now, I want to try to explain why is it that Menashe throws everything away. I think we talked about the Gemara Sanhedrin, where he's so angry. His father was so firm, and everything fell apart. So I want to begin with, for the transition, is how Yishael deals with what will bring Gula. In other words, what's necessary for a Tufa Mashiachi. So open up Yishael Perek Yud Aleph, because it's famous. What? No, Yishael. We'll do Yishael, the transition from Yishael to Yirmiyahu. Open up first Yishael Perek Yud Pasuk Hey. I just want to review the key messages we saw in Yishayahu to appreciate what's going to happen with Yirmiyahu. Ishel Perik Yud. I think it's Pasuk. No, Pasuk Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, not Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, Perik Yud Pasuk Hey. Perik Yud Pasuk Hey. We did this, but Hoya Shor Shevet Apis. Umatei Biodo Zami, Begoy Chanefa Shachena, Amir Briti Atzabemit, Shor Shalal, Bos Bos. That's Yishel's bottom line message, because they don't listen to him in time of Uziyahu. They don't fix their society. Why am I going to bring in Ashur? We talked about the people don't buy it. Ashur comes in, the people don't buy it, and that's the reason why Ashur is being successful. They think God's being mean to them. They pray to God, God doesn't answer their prayers because they don't understand why he's sending Ashur. Then Ahaz starts following other gods because he's angry with God. And then it's even worse. Then we get to Chizkiyahu and he does a big turnaround. We talked about Chizkiyahu's big turnaround, the big Pesach he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll review it again in a minute.
Yeah.
And then we're still pretty much playing ping pong back and forth.
Yeah.
Are we following other gods or following our God?
Right.
But bottom line, the main motivation, that's what I'm trying to get across, the main motivation for either going to other gods or following our God is which God is going to give us military victory. In other words, when I'm looking, what's the goal of our national existence? The main thing is we want quiet, either praying for peace or winning wars, one or the other, and prosperity. From an educational point of view, that's what I want to show you, the main point that Navi is making is your main goal is not being prosperous and having full borders and being strong and winning wars. Your main goal of that prosperity is what you do with that prosperity and the society you build and how you make a name for God. And to that point, Am Yisrael never gets, pretty much. That's what the prophets are screaming all the time. And to the average people, you can sell religion by, you know, pray and God will answer your prayers. Pray for peace, pray for war, pray to win wars, pray for prosperity. And when those gods answer you, you go with that God. When they don't answer you, either you pray harder. If you're really religious, you just try a little harder. If you're weak, you start following other gods. Whoever's going to help you. But the idea of having a goal of being God's people, which we call before Ani Hashem, it's going to be very hard to educate to that. And that's pretty much what Nevi'im are screaming about and why it basically doesn't work. Now, he talks about how Ashur's going to come in, and then at the end of Perek Yud, he talks about he's going to come almost to Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim will be saved at the last minute. And that's the famous Haftarah for Yom HaTzmut, the last day of Pesach, if you're in America, in Perek Yud, Pasek Lamed Bet. Odayom, Benov Lamod, Yafet Yedo Har Zion, that's going to be Sancheriv is going to come up to basically Har Sofim, see Yerushalayim, know this where Har Sofim is, friendship pretty much. Sid Harbai, say I'm going to get you tomorrow, and then God's going to stop him there. That's in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Hinei Adon Hashem Tzvot Mesei Tzvura B'Maratza V'Ramei Akomad Duim Akvod Nishvalu Ekev Sivchei Yar. Basically, this big the king of Ashur was so sure of himself, God's going to finally cut him off. Now, look in Perek Yud Aleph, and this is going to be Yishayahu's description of what Am Yisrael needs to do for things to turn around, to be worthy of this redemption. It says, "V'yetzach chotur migezer Yishai v'netzim mishushav Yifra." You know what a chotur is? Remember that the giving tree, that little kid's book?
Stump.
There's a stump of a tree, and a little sprout sticking out. So the chotur, or a netzer, the little sprout sticking out of the trunk of the tree looks like it's dead, it's cut off, but a little sprout comes off, and it can start growing again. That little. So that's it. A choter from, I guess that's a cut off tree. And a choter will come out. What's God saying? Machut David is pretty much wiped out. Everything that hope has been almost decimated. But there'll be something from the Gezer Bishah will come out and bring recovery. They'll have the right spirit, they'll have the right emotion, access to the right emotion, the right leadership characters. And he'll decide we're going to turn Israel around. We're going to do something great. And here's a big line. He's using almost like Chabad in a mitzvah tank analogy. His army uniform will be Tzedek Mishpat. Tzedek Yisor is what you girdle yourself in to battle. And the Yisor Chalatzav will be Emunah. And then the famous Gar Zevim Keves, if we take it literally or thematically, the argument among the Parshanim. And then Pasuk Tet, V'lo yiru v'lo yishvitu v'har kodshi, k'mela ha'aretz d'yat Hashem, k'yam b'yam l'chasim. That's how the Rambam ends the Yad HaChazaka, according to that Pasuk. Hilchot Mashiach. The land will be everyone who know God. Again, in the theme, knowing God is not this intellectual Aristotle understanding that there must be one God. Knowing God, knowing what God wants you to do, the idea to know God in Chumash, and we said that in Yirmiyahu, or we'll see it in Yirmiyahu over and over again, that's understanding what God wants you to do, how he wants you to act. Then by Yibayimuj Sora Shishai, Asher Omid L'Nesanim, Elab Goyim Yidrashu, like Tamil Nuch HaKavod. Then by Yibayimuj Yisif Hashem Shinit, Diknot Et Sharma, Asher Yishrem Yashur, Nitzami Patros. We read this on the Matzmut in the morning, don't we? In the Basaf Nidchei Yisrael, that's with the old Kibbutz Galiot stuff, and then skip the Pasuk Yedet, B'marta B'yam, Perk Yedet. I'm going to thank you even though you punish me. Yeshua b'chavtach, meaning take away your anger and comfort us. Hinei al Yeshua t'yavtach v'lovtach. Kesev t'yav, Hashem li v'ayili l'shua v'shatar v'misason. Then finally, Hodo l'Hashem kiru b'shmo odi b'amim alilotav, kizkiru ki nizgav shmo, zamro Hashem ki got asa, and celebrating Hashem b'tzion. Everyone knows those two kin. And that's the end of classic Isaiah. These are psukim everybody goes for gula, etc. But what's important, what's his gula? His gula is not talking about great military victories, it's talking about a king and a leader who's going to lead people finally in the right direction. And that's the point I'm trying to make. What Yishayahu is screaming and yelling at is that since the time of Uziel, your main goal to Jewish people is not being, it's not just being wealthy and being secure in your borders and having power. Your main goal is using that power and prosperity to sanctify God by building a just society. And we go full cycle, and they don't listen, God brings them down. But because of Shirat Hazinu, we'll never be a total wipeout. He says, ultimately, we'll be redeemed. But the Redeemer has to be one who recognizes that thing. Now, it could have been Chizkiel. That's what Chazal say. God wanted Chizkiel to be Melech Mashiach. What did he do? Yeah. They didn't say that. Anyone who gets a Mersamet share? Mm-hmm. You go to Rav Samet Shir. I just listened to the tape yesterday. He said Hallel, but not Yishai. He said, but not Shirah. If I understood him correctly, is that Shirah is a higher. Hallel is thanking God for what he did for you. Shirah is recognizing this is a turning point in Jewish history. And seeing, it's just like getting out of Egypt is a turning point in Jewish history. And basically seeing God behind historical events, and not just thanking him for what he did, but taking that historical event and saying, we have to turn over a new leaf. It's like in someone's individual life, let's say someone who wasn't religious, something happened to, I'm going to come about Tshuva. It's going to change my whole way of life of looking at things. Or someone was religious and changed their mind, now I'm going to have a different Hashkafa. You know, I think, you know, someone who was this modern Orthodox and then, oh my gosh, Haredim are right, I have to sit in the or vice versa. No, I'm talking about, or you're a Haredi and then, oh my gosh, I should be doing the army kind of stuff. Something can happen, and then you have some understanding that everything changes. And that happens on an individual level, and also on a national level. And that's what he's trying to get across. Now, what happened? Chizkiel, just take a look in Malachim Bet. This is Chaf Dalet, I think. No, it's got to be. No, it's gotta be in the Nachat, in the Chet, it's gotta be Yud Chet around. Yud Zayin, Yud Chet, I'll say in a minute. It's gotta be before Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph is in the Nachat, it's probably Yud Chet. Yeah, Yud Chet. In Perek Yud Chet, Chizkiel becomes king in the third year of Hosea. Hosea is the last king of Israel. It said, Hari wipes them out totally in the ninth year of his reign. So 6 years before Ashur takes over the 10 tribes, Chizkiel becomes king in Yehuda. He's 25 when he's king. 29 years he's king in Yerushalayim. And then Pasuk Gimel, V'yasa Yashar ben Hashem kol asher asa David David. Listen to what he does. Who is Sira Tabamot v'shibir matzevot l'chorat ha-tashor v'chitet l'chan ha-chosha asher asa Moshe ki al yemim mehem v'yubin Yisrael matim lo v'ikod lo n'chushtam. He wipes out idol worship. If you've ever been to Tel Arad, you see archaeological evidence of what he did. He took, there was a bama,
two of them,
like a shtibo in Tel Arad, which was Avodat Hashem, like a little mishkan, called Mikdash Ekvo, and he redid it and put, there was a mizbeach for God, and he couldn't use it because he got rid of the bamot, but he couldn't destroy it because it was for God. Therefore, he built a wall over it. And the wall includes, they found a whole mizbeach hiding inside of a later wall, which was an amazing find. You ever been to Tel Aran?
With two stone pillars, like a male and female.
Yeah, yeah. There's a, where the Aron is, you have two mizbeachot ktoret. Now, with that description of Chizkiyahu, such a great king, what would you expect God to do?
Redeem
them. He goes up against the Assyrians. And then, by Yishar the man of Chizkiyahu, Vashana Shvit, of Moshe ben Elah, Allah Shamanesa Melech Ashur, Al Shamron, Vyatzala, Vekidovic. Then, in the middle of his reign, Shamanesa comes and takes over the northern kingdom. And then, in the 14th year of his reign, comes Sennacherib. During his reign, the rest of the story in Perak Yuchet is how God saves Yerushalayim at the last minute. But in the meantime, Lachish is wiped out. So, in the middle, or towards the end of, back in the middle of Chizkiyahu's reign, first Shalmaneser, and then Shalmaneser, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And then Sennacherib come and wipe everybody out. In the middle of all this great tshuva that he's doing, and that's the question. And when that happens, so we're saved at the last minute. But you call that? But all this is happening after Chizkiyahu does tshuva. If you look in Divrei, now we're looking at the same thing in Divrei Yamim.
So at what point was he supposed to make a do Shira when Yerushalayim was saved?
Yeah. But you understand why they don't? Because so many people were so bad, it's called like a Shira victory. We were saved the last minute, but everything was wiped out. In Divrei Yamim Bet, Mamash towards the end, it's going to be, I think, Terech Chava probably. Terech Chava was Uziel, Chavchet. Yeah, Terech Chavchet. Here's a much better tour to see how from you. Derech Chavtet by Chizkiyahu Malach, ben 25 shana, ben 25 shanim Malach Yerushalayim, b'shem Imo Aviyah ben Bat Zachariah. Ve'yaseh Yashar ben Yeshem Chusar Sa'at David Aviv. Hu b'shana rishona lemocho, b'chodesh harishon, patach et altot beit Hashem v'yechazken. Ve'yaveh et hakohanim et hanavim v'yasvim v'yachol ha'mizrach, v'yomer lehem shemuni ha'levim. Derech Chavtet in Divrei Yamim Bet. In Pasuk Kena. He talks to the Levim, he says, listen up everybody. He katshu, v'katshu et v'et Hashem alei avotechem v'otzi et anidam min ha'kodesh. Ki melo avotim v'asu orah b'nei Hashem v'yazvu v'yestem v'pneim nishka Hashem yidnu orah. Ki sagru dato tuon. He says, look how bad we were in the time of Achaz. Achaz was really bad. We're going to fix all that. Then he continues. Then all the Levim and Pasuk Gibbet get up and they start getting teaching the people Torah. Pasuk Tetzayin. ויבוא הכהנים הפנימה לבית השם לטהר ויוציאו את הטומאה אשר מצאו בהיכל השם לחצר בית השם וקבלו הלווים לוצאים בנחל קדרו. והחילו באחד לחודש הראשון לקדש ביום 18 לחודש טוב לעולם השם ויקדשו את בית השם בימים שמונה וביום שישה לחודש כאילו. It took 2 weeks, 16 days to clean up the mikdash. It's Passover. What do? That's what Chazal said, they put off Nisan for another month and they made Pesach in the next month. Yeah, and then you got everyone, and they made a whole big korbanot when they cleaned up the mikdash, and then in Perek Lamed, Vayishlach Chizkiyahu Kol Yisrael Yehuda v'gam Yigrod Ketav L'Efraim u'Menasher Lavod Beit Hashem Yerushalayim Nasud Pesach Hashem Elohei Yisrael Vayivatz Hamelach V'Sarav V'Chol Kal Yerushalayim Nasud Pesach B'Chodesh Hasheni. They didn't get the mikdash ready in time for the first Pesach.
It was Pesach Sheni.
But no, but they do Pesach Sheni with Chag HaMatzot.
Right.
Which means it's not Pesach Sheni. It means Yibar Nisan Ben Nisan. It means he added a month. He decided in Nisan to make Nisan Adar Bet. It's the one in Pesachim. So Yibar Nisan Ben Nisan. And he had good reasons. Now, what happens is everybody comes. Listen, what happens? Skip to the end. It's so cute. In Pasuk Tetvav. In Perek Lamed Pasuk Tetvav. Oh, here, actually, start from Pasuk Yod, it's so cute. Vayu Haratzim, because you see the attitude of the people. Perak Lamed Pasuk Yud. Vayu Aratzim will bring me ear the ear bear to find him in a shad ad zvulun. Remember, it's before the 10 tribes were wiped out. And they're trying to get everyone to do tshuva. They send people up north. Remember Chazal said that Shoeb ben Eila allowed the Jews already to come to Yerushalayim? And Vayu Mestachakim Aleim Umaligim Ba. What did they do when the people come around? He come to Yerushalayim and bring these korbanot. So all the left wingers were making fun of them, joking about them. But we said, "Ah, Hanashim, Yashirum, Menashirum, Zbulun, Nichnuv, Yavod Yerushalayim." Some people came, some people didn't. Gam Yudah Itayah Elohim Lotet Lehem Lev Echad Lassot Mitzvat HaMelech Asurim Dvar Hashem Yesu Yerushalayim Yam Rav Lassot Chag HaMatzot Mechodesh HaShini. That wasn't just Pesach, also Chag HaMatzot. Kal Rav Od, Vaykumu Vyesu Et HaMishpachot Hashim Yerushalayim Vekol HaMachotot Yisiru Vishrifu Nachal Kidron Vishkutu VaPesach Vapesach LaChodesh Kadet. They did this mess of Passover in the first year of his reign. Now, what happened? Pasuk Kedzayin, Vayamdu Alamdam Kimishpatam Ketorat Moshe Ish Elohim Lakvonim Zokim Et Adam Min Yaludim Ki Rabat HaKahal Asher Lo Yitkatshu Valavim Ashkita Tatsachim Lechol Lo Tor Lakdish Lashem. What happened? Even though to bring Pesach you have to be Tahor, not everyone was Tahor, no one had time. Therefore they said, it's okay. Now listen what happens. Pasuk Yudchet. Ki Barbit Ha'am Rabat Mi'efraim U'Vinasher Yistacharu Zvulun Loit Hitaru Ki Achlu Et HaPesach B'lo Kakatuv Ki Tpalel Chizkio Alein Demor Hashem Atov Yichaper Ba'al. He was the first one of modern Orthodox king kind of thing. You know what? They're coming to Beit HaMikdash, they're not perfectly Tahor, but it's like inviting people for Shabbos who are driving. Yeah.
I thought that's the lach. If Rova the Am is Tame, they...
Yeah, the question is, Rova, there's a whole discussion on that. But here, now, this is what happened. Look at Ta'ot HaKodesh. He really meant well, but it wasn't the promised guy. Vayishma Hashem et Chizkiyahu vayirpa et ha'am. Yasu b'nei Yisrael nisim b'Yerushalayim et Chag HaMatzot Shivat Yamim Simcha Gdola Ma'alim L'Hashem Yom Yom L'Alvim Hakohanim L'Chvim L'Chvim L'Hashem. Got it? This is the first year of his reign. What else could you ask for? Got it? And what happens within 10-15 years? 3-4 years later, I mean 6-7 years later, Shalmaneser wipes out the north. 12 years later, Sennacherib wipes out Lachish, and almost Yerushalayim is destroyed.
It's interesting they keep having a religious worldview as just saying, you know, Albania just not going to beat the Soviet Union. This Tachlis, it's a bad idea. So they always look at gods as sort of in control.
And therefore, if we just play the God enough, we'll win our battles. So that's going to be the underlying question we'll see also with Yirmiyahu. When you have this rise of religious fervor, returning to God, do we want to be God's people again and serve Him properly? Or do we want God's people because we want God to fight our wars?
Or not be God's
people. And my claim is going to be the same thing with Chetah Egel, where they want, and we did that back, where they want, where God says, I'm going to send a Malach to help you conquer your enemies, and they thought that would be Moshe, and now that Moshe's gone, they need a new tank, you know, a new fighter to help. A new Malach to send away. And that's what the ego is going to do.
You think it's the urge of the times that they're constantly looking for a supernatural
umbrella? Of course it does. Makes
umbrella.
Sense. Yeah. And therefore people pray. Now, what's Yishael going to come and say? That's Yishael Perakala. We talked about it many times, didn't we? We have this tremendous return to God, but still it's not enough. From his son's point of view, Chizkiyahu's son, what happens? Menashe takes over. Look how firm my father was. Look what we did. And look what God did. And that's why he's so angry. And that's why when he turns everything down, it's almost like many people's reaction after the Shoah. Look all those firm people. Look what happened to them. Who needs God? And not just, they believe in God, but they hate him. Just like Lahachis. And therefore, Menashe closes down the Mikdash. He's angry. And then God gets even more angry. Got it? And that's the end of Bible Rishon.
But he brings in the other idols. He doesn't de-link religion. He just takes on the gods of the Assyrians.
And he puts them. No, he keeps religion, but now because Ashur is so victorious, we're going to serve the Assyrian gods. American culture works. We're going to follow American culture. Whatever culture is winning, that's what you go with. You go with the winner. Mm-hmm. And that's Menashe. Got it? I'm trying to explain the ping pong going back and forth. What I'm trying to explain is from a prophetic point of view, how are they answering the problems? Because from the people's point of view, this looks really bad. You pray to God, you clean up your temple, you do this whole big Korban Pesach and everything, everyone's all religious. That's
Everyone has got destroyed.
Yes. Everyone's doing daf yomi. You follow? Everyone's praying in davening, and God doesn't help you.
Well, he wants to make Judea great
that,
again.
Is that arrogance on part of man? To presume to know what the Am is doing and the thoughts of the Am? God knows. We don't know what's going on in the hearts of man.
No, but the Navi does.
No, but they're connected.
That's what the Navi say.
They connected themselves.
What I'm getting at is the people, I'm trying to explain what's the reason for this ping pong back and forth all the time. If you look, remember that chart, the worst Qurban happens when we're the frumest. The biggest Qurban happens during Hizkiel of Ashur, and he's the frumest king we ever had.
Are they coming out to vote?
What? The people are from in the sense that they're praying to God and bringing Qurban up. But that's exactly Shabbat and Kalev. They still haven't fixed their society. And it doesn't make that much sense, but we see it happening all the time. It's the hardest thing to teach in religion, because the second you start teaching that, the religion falls apart.
When you say fix their society, you mean look out for
the poor, the needy, the trouble, to be honest with one another. Everything Yeshua was talking about. And everything Gimel is going to talk about in a minute. What happens? Under Menashe, everything falls apart. There's a bit of recovery towards the end, and then Amon goes back to the bad ways. In the meantime, that's why historically, Ashur falls apart. No one took over yet. And when Yoshiah was a young little kid growing up, all of a sudden there's room for Israel to grow again. And there's tremendous growth during the early years of Yoshiah. Yoshiah, remember we talked about last week, at age 16, he's king at age 8, but at age 16 he becomes prum. And he starts his reform
in
the 12th year of his reign.
When he's 20.
And the reform that Yoshiah does, remember, he goes around wiping out all the idol worship from Menashe. He gets rid of everything. And everyone's hoping, this is it. Beit Rishon's over, this is Beit Sheni. And then what happens? He comes in, he cleans up the temple, they find the Sefer Torah, they make a big deal about it. They also make a massive Passover.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We saw that as long as you're Divrei Yamim. Look in Perek Lamed Gimel, I think. No, Lamed Gimel is Menashe, Lamed Dalet is Yoshiah. You read that last week.
We
said Lamed Dalet last week. They find a Sefer Torah. Look in Perek Lamed Hey. Yet Yoshiah Pesach Hashem. Veishchetu Pesach Parvasal Chodesh Rishon. V'yemek Kohanim Al Mishpatam. This is a whole big thing. Skip to the end of Perek Lamed Hey. Pasuk Yudchet. Lamed Hey Yudchet in Divrei Yamim. לא נעשה פסח כמו בישראל מימי שמו הנביא, וכל מיני חיסו אשר לא עשו כפסח שעשה יושיהו המקורנים הלווים, ונעשה יושיה ירושלים. And then, that was the 18th year of his reign, and after all that, he loses the battle in Megiddo, which we'll talk about in the next class. So, despite all that, everything falls apart. But he does great. He's so good, he's doing so great, the country's growing leaps and bounds, that he takes on the Egyptian army in Megiddo. Remember it? Mm-hmm. The Egyptian army, Paro Necho, is on his way to Carchemish to take on the Babylonians and the Assyrians. There's a big war going on over there in Carchemish. Yoshiah says, no one passes through my land. Don't get out of the way. We're big shots. And the king says, leave me alone. He does it. And that's when Yoshiah gets killed. What happens? He gets killed. What do people say? Such a prim king? Look what happens. And then Yoakim goes back to the bad ways again. And that's going to be the ping pong going back and forth. Now let me just give you, like we did all this, I want to give you a little snapshot of Yirmiyahu, okay? One third in Yirmiyahu to get his point. What I'm trying to show you is that the core problem that Yirmiyahu is trying to fight is the same core problem that Yeshua was trying to fight. Yeah.
I have a question now.
Yeah.
Who wrote Sefer Melachim and Divrei Hayyamim, and why is it
that... Who wrote them or who canonized them?
Well, why isn't there a mention of how horrible the society was? Only the Nevi'im notice? You know what I'm saying? Like, there seems like such a
between what you read in Marit, between in Yidio Tachmonot, what you read in Amudiyah.
No, it's also kind of history.
Like, we hear so much about how wonderful, you know, Hezkiyahu was and Yoshiyahu. But why don't we hear? The orphans and the So and that, widows listen, were living in refugee camps or whatever.
I want to prove to you that the first chapter of Yeshayahu is the time of Chizkiyahu. Okay, I want to prove that. Open up Yeshayahu Perak Aleph. I think we mentioned it. Just want to make sure it's clear. Yeshayahu Perak Aleph, after his introduction.
Yeshayahu.
He talks what years he's talking about. Etc. Here. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. The beginning. Perak Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Arzichem Shmama, Arichem Sufot Eish, Admatechem Ledechem Zarim Ochlimota, Ushmama Kamech Metzarim. That's describing the land after Sancreator came and wiped it out. That's Yishayah, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. This opening Perak is not chronologically the first one. This is like his main message. Saying, your land got wiped out. And it's destroyed almost as bad as like stone was destroyed. Only Yerushalayim is left over, like a little sukkah left over in a wiped out field. We're almost wiped out, almost totally like stone and amora. Then Shimon Varsham Sinai Stoma Zinam Tortamora. So we're talking about a time period when it's after there's massive destruction. And then what's he say? Pasuk Aleph. Lamani rov siv chechem yomar Hashem. Sabati olot ilim v'chilim merim v'dam parim kvasim atim lachatatzdi. Where do we have a time that people bring korbanot left and right? Chizkel, they're bringing korbanot like crazy when they rededicate the temple. Ki tevo derot panai mi v'kesh lot me'etchem r'mos chatzerai lot tzib aviv min chat shabtor t'voiva yili chodesh shabbat kramo kralo chalal den v'atzara chod shechem odechem mitzvanan v'shiro den v'torach. ופרסם כפיכם, עלים עיני מכם, גם תרבות תפילה איננו שומע, ידיכם דמים מלאו. So what he's saying? You're praying, you're pouring your hats out to me, you're bringing korbanot, you're bringing all these presents to me, you're coming all holidays, and God says, I'm sick of it. Why? Because your society is bad. פסק תציין רחצו, זקו עשיר רומא ללכם, מנגד עיני, חדו הריע, עמדו היטב, רשו משפט, עשו חמוס, שיפטו יתום לי באמונה.
What about the from people that are doing
He's talking to the from people.
So there's some good people, it's not all of society is bad.
But that, he said, that's his general picture.
The bigger picture.
It's the Russian.
Yeah.
Despite the
fear that in Chafala. איך הייתה לתונה קיראה נמנה, בידיתי משפט, צדק ילים בה, ואתם רצחים,
So it's the righteous people. I won't destroy the city. Remember that?
Yeah. What about that point?
Sarai Sorurim, v'chavrei ganavim kulo ohev shochad rodev shamanim yotom lo yishpot uridam anad lo yibolim. Got it? All the leaders are all full of...
Peter's a good point. Storm is not destroyed if they could find 10 righteous people.
Yeah.
So it's clear that there weren't 10 righteous people.
Well, look at the team of stones right there. I'm going to look in Pasuk Chaval. להשיב השבתה כראשונה ויוצאי כבתחילה וכי נקרא לך יר צדק יר נמנה ציום במשפט יפדה ושבת מצדקה
Rashi brings us this week's parsha that sometimes when you go you have a field with kruv and you also have kotsim you go to pull out the kotsim and sometimes you pull out the kruv so the tzaddikim get pulled along because of the
Rashi it's still but they're partially divided because they're the reason The way sometimes the religious people are acting is the reason why the non-religious people are not religious.
Yeah.
That's all along this.
But like, not everybody has the power to change what the leaders are doing. Mm-hmm. So maybe, like, is that what you guys are saying? Like, some people might be good and you might be trying to help. Like,
but we're all responsible for one another. Yeah.
But then it's not representative of
There's the overall. You know, how's the nation doing? But individuals can have an effect on the nation. That's why if there's a tzaddik, that's what's God telling Avraham Avinu by Sodom. If there's tzaddikim who care about what's going on, that's why I don't need to count like who's a tzaddik, who's not a tzaddik. You know, total up. Because if there's tzaddikim and tzaddik who care about what's going on, there'll be a change. And when tzaddikim don't care what's going on, then they become responsible. It's a harsh demand on people. But the question what defines a tzaddik? Tzaddik is people getting involved in society and making thinking different. Oh, thanks.
Sure, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Now, I want to just prove the point. Open up this real quick. Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin. Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin is like...
Why does it come after Isaiah in my Tanakh?
What?
Why is Yirmiyahu? Oh, like, because it is a. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Never.
Well, remember, Yoshiel has this great, great return, and Yirmiyahu is the same time as Yoshiel, and then Yoyakim, etc. So look at Perek Zayin, and I just wanted to give a little taste of Yirmiyahu. Let me see what I'm trying to do today. I'm just trying to give an overview to explain why I need Yishayahu to understand Yirmiyahu, and how the underlying problem in Yirmiyahu was the same thing as we had in Yishayahu. Open up in Perek Zayin and Yirmiyahu. It's like super duper famous. But I want to get my point that who's he talking to? So look at the first line. Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin. הדבר אשר היה ירמיהו מבית השם לאמור, עמוד בשער בית השם וקראת השם את הדבר הזה, ואמר תשימו דבר השם כל יהודה בלבי משלמי לו לשכות לשם. Number one, who's his audience?
The people.
People coming to the Beit HaMikdash to pray to God. Not idol worshippers, not what they call it. People who are religious coming to pray to God. That's clear. כל מה השם צבאות עלי ישראל, היטיבו דרככם ומעלה לכם, ושכנת לכם במקום הזה. You want to remain here and dwell here in this land? What do you have to do? Improve
yourself.
Darachem u'malachem. Darachem is what you're doing. Malachem is what you're thinking about. Understand? And alilah is what you plan on doing. Darachem is what you are doing. And sometimes there's a connection between what you plan on doing and what you end up doing.
Not always.
Not always, but usually there could be a connection. But that phrase comes up a lot. Etivu darachem u'malachem. Al tiftuchu lechem al divrei hasheker lemor echal Hashem echal Hashem echal Hashem hema. Yirmiyahu will see, that's what makes Yirmiyahu so much fun. He has arguments with his colleagues. There's other rabbis, other Nevi'im, or Nevi Hashem, who are in the temple, telling the people what do they need to do. It's all about Hechal Hashem. Come to the temple, pray in the temple, and if you want God to help you, more prayer, more korbanot. He says, that's fine, but that's not enough. He says, ki, im itib titivot archechem, bet malalechem, that's what you're asking for. What do you see the Nevi'im saying it? And then he gives examples. Then you want to stay in this land? We'll see a minute. Babel is in the background.
Are the religious people are the ones who are doing this?
That's what he said. That's what he's saying. That's who he's talking to.
He's saying that them don't.
The people who are davening depends on what you define by religious. But they have the same, what we call religious today is what they called religious back then.
Like Sunday Christian.
You've seen examples of that, what's happening in religious societies.
Okay.
You're listening to these, we'll see, Tviya Tivriya Sheker means the words of the false Nevi'im, and they're God's prophets who are saying things in God's name they never said. Yirmiyahu is complaining about his rabbinic colleagues. Like you have things that nowadays. What's the right religious message to give the people nowadays? Like between Rabbi Netzar and Rabbi
What was the motive for those other Navis to do that?
What do you mean?
Were they true Navim?
They were
the others? I mean
they were if a Navi is someone who represents God, not someone who receives Nevuah, but someone who's representing God. A Navi is God's spokesperson. So in general I call them like shul rabbis. The Navim are the leaders of the people. We'll see, Yirmiyahu talks about them a lot.
I mean, why would they want to give a false message?
Because they think it's true. A lot of people think it's true. It's the same message we get today all the time, isn't it? There's a war going on, problem, what do? You have to pray harder.
I mean, it's not in the Pharisees' intent. They honestly believe what they're saying.
Yeah, they're sure. They're sure they're right. Okay. And they're so sure they're right, they make up things in God's name that God never said because they're so sure they're right. Because they're 100% sure that Yirmiyahu is wrong. Because Yirmiyahu can't be right.
And why is that?
But that's what we'll spend the next 2-3 weeks on. Then we get into politics, it'll be a lot of fun. Then he says like this, Pasuk 10 is famous. Haganov Ratzoch V'Noth V'Shavad HaShaker. Where's that from? That's the second half of the Dibro. But Keter Laval we have to talk about in Yirmiyahu. Baloch Achrei Elim Acharim Asher Lo Yadatem U'batem B'maritem L'Fanai B'Bait Asher Nikrash Mi'alav B'maritem Nitzaru L'Manasot Kol Tovot Eile. Why are they coming to the Mikdash? To get away with murder. They're acting bad, but they're coming to the Mikdash, so God will help them. They believe in God, the God has powers.
Penance.
But you need, it's like God becomes a vending machine. Now, when God's a vending machine, that's exactly Apple.Bob. well, we'll see later in Yirmiyahu, that he calls the people in the Beit HaMikdash, you're not serving.
So this God. Is like you could sit in a Sephardi shul, if you've ever been to a Sephardi shul, they'll go right in your face and then say, okay, you know, it's very nice you come to shul, but don't drive to shul on Shabbos. You know, don't open your business on Shabbos. Right? So what's the guy going to do?
Woke up. Don't go back.
He won't come there anymore.
That's just a story.
So on the other hand, we're saying, okay, at least they're coming.
You gotta be like Chabad.
No, he's saying, that's the question, what his complaint is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about Benam Makom laws, I'm talking about Benam Chabad laws.
Yeah.
No. Then let's make out the thing. Hamar Parisim Haya Baitas Ashley Krashmiala, Benisham, Kamalachim, Brain, Numashem. Pasek Yud.
God's
house, Shul, looks like a hangout for convicts. Marat Parisim is that cave where robbers hang out. The people in the Beit HaMikdash coming and davening, it's like a kiddush club for inside traders kind of stuff. They're all coming to shul. All the people in shul, they're all robbers and stealers and things like that. They're all crooked. And my name is associated with, we're going to see, it's what the end with us are soon. Yirmiyahu's going to say, it's because you're so frum, God has to punish you. If you weren't frum, if you weren't waving the flag for God's people, because God's name is associated with this house. When the people coming and waving the flag were God's people, the people praying to God and serving God and keeping his holidays, if in their day-to-day life in society they're corrupt, that makes God look bad. God said, yeah, that's the Chilul Hashem. Therefore, say, I can't tolerate that. Therefore, I have to destroy that temple because it's making me look bad. That's going to be Yirmiyahu's main point. If you weren't so religious, okay, it's just another nation doing bad. Why should I get involved? It's because you're claiming to be my people, I have to be extra strict on you.
But that's as a nation, not on a personal level.
That Sarva Onish is always on the national level.
Sorry?
Sarva Onish in the Bible is always on the national level. There's also on the personal level, but that's not the Navi's topic. Because on the national level, we have winning wars and losing wars. It will be outside enemies attacking us, it will be epidemics, it will be famines and things like that. That goes on the national level. It can't work on an individual level. There can be Sarva Onish on an individual level, but that's way more complicated. But the Navim talk about national level. Just one more line. Kiduchuna mekomi asher b'shilo asher shikanti sham shmi b'rishonah ruk et asher siti lo mnei rab ami Yisrael ten yana svetu al masim ha'elu nim Hashem adaber v'ashkim v'lo shimatem v'krat kam adoin nitem v'asit l'bayt asher nikra shmi alav asher etem botim v'lo mekomi shantati al botechem kashet l'shilo. Just like Shilo was destroyed, Jerusalem will be destroyed. That would get him in big trouble, saying that, you know, never, if someone would say nowadays, there might be a Korban Shlishi. You know, throw them out of shul, remember? Every Yom Yerushalayim Sicha, you hear. This is the final Gula, and you have to have a Muna, and it can't happen. And all you need is that Muna, that this is the final Gula, and that's what God wants. As opposed to a message of, it might happen again if you don't fix your ways.
No, he's going to give a message of surrender to the Babylonians.
That's going
to
be later on, we'll get to that.
You know, that's
that will make the book interesting.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, also I want to show you is the same message Yishai was giving in the beginning of his Nebuah. Yirmiyahu is repeating the same message. And it just falls on, and it's falling on empty ears. Why? Because we have the same tofa'ah that when things are going good and your team is winning and he's your God, you serve your God because he's helping you. You're winning. But the second things go bad, you dump your God. And what's the litmus test? We'll see later on why, what happens, why we lose the battle in Megiddo. This tshuva movement that's happening in the early years of Yirmiyahu, and the early years of Yoshiel, Yirmiyahu was leading it, is it deep tshuva to really want to be God's people, or is it convenient tshuva because we're on a winning team? Is it spurred by nationalism or a deep understanding of what it means to be God's people? And we're going to see how nationalism is like the big thing happening. No, now that Ashur fell, Babel's not in yet, there's this great nationalism going on in the country, tremendous growth that leads him to take on the Egyptians. But we can take on anybody. I can bring examples from modern day. When you're sure God's on your side, you can take any military risk. God will help you because I'm an etzach level tachet.
But we saw
people saying the same thing in the time of Yoshiel.
But we saw from
Yoshiel gets really angry. Anyway, we'll end here. But next week we'll see everything inside, and we'll see the big political event and how it's going to happen with Ashur. And I mean, when a short falls and Babel takes over, we'll see that's going to change everything in Yirmiyahu.
But you saw in Chizkiyahu, there was no direct linkage between the Baal Tshuva movement and the national.
Chizkiyahu's time? Sure. They want God to help them. God's going to come and help them, if you're not sure. And he did.
I thought in Hezekiah the people suffered tremendously, although the king was from and people were doing tshuva.
Yeah, they suffered. That's why they get so angry. But at the end of the day, they win the final battle. But it's not enough. That's why later we'll see Hezekiah. Ishaya starts yelling at him again. He's going to get lost.
Yeah.
When he wants to make a dream with Babel.
This is right.
Thank you.